On good days and bad days, because those are all temporal anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm just happy to be here.
Yes.
You know, I can't sit any other way. I'm just blessed to be a part of this thing. You know, so many times I think I was holding back, saving things, thinking I need to save my boy.
Yeah.
Don't save anything.
Give it all.
Give it all to him.
Every story.
If you got to jump up and down till you get tired, lay down and get back up. If you got to scream till you get hoarse, take a sip of water and keep screaming. But why would you want to hold anything back is what
not
I'm getting.
Not now.
Why would you want to reserve anything? Who are you saving it for?
Right.
Why are you holding it back? I was just thinking, I was rebuking myself. I'm like, why would you need to have a voice tomorrow?
Right.
Why do you need to? I don't need to scream tomorrow. I want to scream today.
Right.
I don't even know if tomorrow will be here. Why would I even? That's right. Why the Bible even says, take no thought for tomorrow.
Right.
See, so many times we're like squirrels. We're nestling things away and hiding away and hiding away, reserving things for no reason.
Right.
You know, the problem with squirrels is they forget where they even hide stuff. That's why they got to constantly work like that, because they don't know where they put it. They never stop working. I want to come in here and rest.
Amen.
I want to come in here and let God just have it. If he wants my voice, give it all to him. There's enough people to take the throne.
Right.
If I run out, you take it.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
That's how this thing is supposed to work. Brother Branham said it'd be a lick, the lick, the lick, the lick.
Right.
And once it gets going like that, you shouldn't even really know who the pastor is.
Yeah.
That's what they said, it should work like that, because everybody's so turned on and giving it all they got. It's like an upper room experience.
Amen.
See, this thing runs, this thing ties, and when it's like an upper room experience, it's all full of believers.
Yes.
I'm not sitting around hoping that I don't offend you.
No.
I'm not sitting around hoping that this doesn't bother you. I don't care.
Right.
You should be a believer like me. If not, why'd you come here?
Right.
You knew what it was going to be when you got here. You knew how it was going to be when you walked in the door.
Amen.
We've been like this for a very long time.
Yeah.
If you didn't want it, stay home.
Right.
Oh, it's like this world. They'll turn on things that they don't want to watch and then complain about it. Don't even turn it on. If it's going to bother you, just don't do it. Don't even get around it. So if this is going to bother you, just don't come around.
Right.
If I'm going to offend you, just stay home. If you don't want the word, turn it off.
Yeah.
But don't turn it on and then get mad that I'm
No.
Don't turn it on and then get mad that I'm still praising.
You know what the station
don't
is.
Get mad that I'm still rejoicing, because I know what I got.
Amen.
Woo. God's been too good to sit down.
Amen.
You know, I remember that service, Brother Don Dawson just had us jumping.
Keep
jumping. Oh, you might
not have been in shape
to jump for an hour. So what? Jump for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, you might not have been in shape to jump twice. So what? Just jump once.
Amen.
Oh, you might not have been in shape enough to keep jumping. Just walk around a little bit.
Yeah.
See, what you got to do is never stop moving.
Amen. That's the key.
That's the key. Because you keep got to keep up with God. Yeah. You run this race. With patience.
Yeah.
He didn't say walk this thing.
No.
He didn't say run. This thing. He said run.
Run.
See, I got too many scriptures, Pastor Moore. Brother Jeremiah, we're loaded.
Yes.
We're loaded. Do you know what we know, Brother John? We've been in this thing too long, brother.
Yes.
We know too much. Why are you going to have a bad day now?
Amen.
Not on Sunday.
No.
You can't touch my Sunday. You can't touch any of my days.
No.
All I got to do is stir up my mind by prayer. Pure remembrance. Of who I am. Oh, you might get a concussion or something like that. Be knocked out for a second. All they got to do is, do you know who you are?
Yeah.
Right.
What's your name?
Yes.
What's your name? Right. Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Who are you?
Oh, that comes with some authority.
Right.
That's an inheritance. When I say that, the devil trembles.
Oh, yeah.
See, I got too many scriptures. Come on, Brother John.
Yes.
Come on.
Let me tell you, nothing you said offended me.
No.
Nothing you said offended
me. Amen.
I believe every word of it.
Amen.
You know, I was just thinking when you were talking about when Brother Deskin's jumping up and down, I remember I was jumping up and down with him.
Right.
And looked at a brother, and he just laughed at me.
Yeah.
You know what? That brother's not here anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you don't laugh at God.
No.
You don't laugh at God.
No.
Amen. God can do some strange stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
But you don't laugh at God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and I thank God how he answers prayer. You know, you just whisper a little prayer,
right?
Yeah.
And God answers it.
God does it.
He answers it.
Amen.
So many things are on my mind. God has been so good. I love this truth. I love this balance.
Amen.
I love that when I say truth to, I mean how honest we all are.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you're honest, you help me.
Yeah.
Because right. I see you have problems too.
Right, yeah.
Like I have problems.
Right, yeah.
And I see how God blesses you and I see how he blesses me.
Amen.
And that helps me.
Amen.
Because if you got up and, you know, just try to put up a show and like, that's not going
you
to
you ain't going to help nobody.
No.
I love the honesty in there.
Amen. Man.
And I saw that on last Sunday night. This body is honest. It's real.
Right. Amen.
This truth is real. God answers prayer.
Amen.
God has shown us who we are. And you know, the scriptures, you talk about having a birth and that revelation. You just look through those scriptures and, you know, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's still the same thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's really, really odd. But you just see how the scriptures all come together. And you see how this truth, there's nothing besides it.
No.
Right. Nothing beside it. Nothing can do this
right.
to me like this.
Amen.
Nothing can thrill me like this.
Right.
Nothing can give me peace like this. Nothing can tell me who I am like this.
Right.
Right.
I don't have any question.
Mm-mm.
I don't have any doubt. I know who I am. I know where I fit in that scripture. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going.
Right.
And that's a lot to say.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother John. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Quick little prayer.
You guys can help me?
Okay.
I just want to say,
yeah.
I just come to praise the Lord.
That's a good song to sing.
Amen.
Excellent song.
Amen. I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise the Lord. Everybody say,
You know, I was reading the promises of the refuge of the Almighty God, how he hides us in his wings. And we don't dash our feet on the rocks.
No
principalities can come against us. He hides us under his pavilion.
Yeah.
And I was just reading that this morning, and I'm so grateful. And you know, the word of God is our pavilion.
Yes.
That word covers us.
Everything.
And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for almost all of them being here today. I'm grateful.
Right.
My heart is full. I can't wait to hear the word.
Amen.
And I loved last Sunday's Bible study because it was family.
Right.
You called for that we all just come and put our feet under the table and we're family, and it was so sweet, and I appreciate it. I appreciate our pastor's vision.
Amen.
I can't say enough. I can't give him enough praise.
Amen. Oh, come on. Amen.
I just want to give God praise while I'm here, because just like the song said, you know, I just come to praise the Lord,
right.
You know, and I'm thankful for that. And like Brother John was saying, I'm so thankful for even for the testimonies that come forward. I was thinking about what that one brother said one time. He said, "You don't want my testimony." I'm like, "But I do, because your testimony is how you overcame."
Yeah,
not that you were smoking, not that you were drinking. Like, that doesn't give me anything. I was like, but your true testimony is how you overcame, because that's going to help me overcome.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, I'm so thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for all God has done for me.
Amen.
Bless you. Then I got a quick prayer request.
Yeah, let me jump on in here. My dad, keep my dad in your prayers. He's going through a tough time right now. He's got some kidney issues and got congestive heart failure now, so he's not doing that good. But I'm fine either way.
Yeah, we'll
that's the beauty of it. You know, that's what the Word of God does. And, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and I can remember growing up, my dad was not a good dad at all, but I had a lot of hatred and bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started coming here, I remember God talking to me one-on-one. You know, you got to let that stuff go.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, you know, I went through all that, but yet, you know, Brother Chitters once said, you know, you got one dad, and you got one mom. And no matter what they do, they got you here. And God got it. They was ordained to be your parents.
Right.
So if you couldn't think anything else, and I, you know, I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm just so happy, I guess, what I'm saying. Because I've got such a revelation that it doesn't matter what they've done to you.
Mm-hmm.
God ordained them to get you here, because he had a makeup or a personality that he wanted you to have to fulfill his word.
Right.
And it just all fits together so good. And I had all those years just bitterness and his hatred, and God rebuked me so strong. And ever since then, I've been pretty good.
Amen.
And I love that man.
Yeah.
You know, even though in one sense word he hasn't changed, it doesn't matter about the other person.
Yeah, no.
It matters about you.
Yeah.
It matters what you carry, what you do.
Yeah.
You know, like you were saying, Jay, you can choose to, you know, I can't choose to have bad thoughts.
No.
Satan has access. He can come and go as much as, but I can choose how I want the outcome of my day to be.
Right.
I can choose to hang on to it, and you can have a bad day if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to.
You can. But I've chosen so many times, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
I've got too much going for me than that's going against me to sit here and just wallow around and just, you know, just wallow up and just die.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that understanding. You know, you were saying earlier, to remind me of the widow woman. You know, before Elijah came along, she didn't know she preserved everything.
Yep.
She was watching how much she ate, and you portion it out, and you're kind of waiting until it lasts a little bit before you die. But after, after the word God came, she wasn't portioning anything else. She had a promise that it would never run empty.
Right.
She wasn't worried about how much she ate or how little she ate. It was her choice from there on out for the rest of the journey, because she had a promise that it would never run empty.
Yeah.
Oh, before I came into this world, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I hoping and thinking and praying and don't know anything about anything.
Right.
But after, after I met Jesus, I'm no longer worried.
No.
I'll give him everything I've got.
Right.
Whatever he calls for, I'll do my best to live up to it.
Yeah.
I'll do my best to give it to him
because
I know I've got more to come.
Amen.
I will never run empty.
Yeah.
This Eve was ordained to come out.
Yeah.
She's ordained to go through.
Right.
Brother Branham said that pastor is ordained to see you through. If Brother Moore stepped off the scene tomorrow, the promise hasn't changed.
No.
God will put another man up here.
Yeah.
Because it's the word
that's
ordained to see you through.
Yeah.
I'm ordained to believe the word. I believe it with every heart.
Amen.
When the word comes forth, I simply say yay and amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
It's just in me. It's my every heartbeat. It's my very life. And when I don't do the things that I should be doing, God talks to me.
Yeah.
He rebukes me. He reminds me. He says, wait a minute, you know better than that.
Yeah.
But here's what I love. Here's what I love about the whole thing. It doesn't take away the promise.
Nope.
You know, if God rebukes you all the way, if you're the laziest worker in here, and God rebukes you all the way home, it doesn't take away from my destination or my promise. It just makes it a little hard. I want it as easy as I can make it.
Yeah.
I want my life as easy as I can make it.
Yeah.
And I love it because God comes into every service. Just reminds you. Yeah. Satan hates it. He hates this time of the day for us. For this church anyways.
Yeah.
Not everybody else. He's got them. He's fine with that.
Yeah.
But he hates when the body gets together. Because, Brother John, we are real. Yep. We got real lives. We got real issues. I've been thinking about my daughters a lot lately. And I miss them.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm a parent. I love them with everything that's in me. And I see the garbage and the nonsense they get into. And it's just a spirit. But I want them back.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that as if, you know, well, it doesn't matter. I'll see them on the other side. All this other garbage. It's like, I know that.
I want them here.
I don't worry about that at all. I don't worry about that like I don't worry about my salvation.
Right.
But I want them. I want to see them here. I want to enjoy my time with them here. I was thinking about, you know, yesterday we were talking about, you know, Brother John and the kids, you know. And now you put that in your children.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's a blessing because his kids are here.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. And I thought, you know, I've done my part, Lord.
Yeah.
Raised my kids. I brought them here. I put everything in them I could possibly put them in at the time. What they do with it when they get older is up to them. I can't control that. That's in God's hands.
Right.
But it doesn't mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I can't still have them on this side. Right. It doesn't mean you just give up. You take your hands off of them. No. They're mine.
Yeah.
Why would I take my hands off? I mean, the logic, it doesn't even make sense. Say, well, they just going to do whatever. I don't even care. I don't even see that.
No.
They're mine.
They're
I want them back. And you pray with me. I want my daughters back.
Amen.
I love my daughters.
Amen.
I've done a lot of good things. I had shared a lot of good memories. It's another thing I was talking about my wife yesterday. When I think about my childhood, I don't have any good memories with my dad. Not one. I mean, and I hate to say, but I don't. But I've got a lot of good memories with my children. I think, Lord, I want my kids back.
Right.
I want to be able to enjoy my time with them.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be here because I've got the word. When it's all said and done, I've got the greatest thing God could ever give me.
Amen.
He brought an end to a struggling nature.
Yeah.
And now my nature's just in me to rejoice. Matter of fact, I think I'll just walk it off.
Yeah.
I just want to walk around and just praise Him and enjoy it because God's been good to me. I look at my life, God's blessed me. He's given everything I could want and then some.
Yeah.
I've got the best friends. I've got the best advisors. I've got the best counselors.
Yeah.
I got the best place to go. If you had problems, you can bring them here and just drop it off. We got the best of the best.
Amen.
Brother Jay, nobody has got a better than we do.
Nobody.
Never been an age like this age.
Right.
There's never been a group of people like this people. There's never been a better group of people that walk in shoe leather than we do. Satan hates us, and I love it that way.
Right.
I love keeping him nervous. You know, it's like when you got unwanted company. You change to a certain subject that they don't talk about, they'll slip up. They'll slip off. That's the way I do when I come in here. I've got a conversation with my Lord. He don't like that. Yeah. He just wants to slip off somewhere.
Yeah.
He don't want to be seen. He just wants to walk away. And I love it. I love this word with everything that's in me.
Amen.
I love it. God's been good to me 31 years.
Wow.
31 years my being here.
Amen.
My.
31 years.
And it's coming over here. And it's just like yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember getting involved in a young man. I remember being in the sound room, spent many, 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 many years in the sound room.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, of course, you know, you made tapes, and I was making 300, 400, 500 tapes. And we didn't have it easy like we do now where it's internet. You made those by hand, three at a time.
Yeah.
So if you do the math, about 500 cassettes a month, divided up by three.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours. I was back here by myself, but God's been good to me.
Amen.
And I'm still here, and
Amen.
I love that. Amen.
Hey, God bless you. Yeah, walk a little bit. Go ahead, Brother James.
Amen.
Yesterday, God took the time to just teach me the value of what it is to have an ear to hear. You know, and we like to sometimes think, you know, we got it, this and that. They don't. But God gave you that ear to hear.
Yeah.
I was talking with my aunt and uncle, and to understand, my aunt runs her Sunday school program at her church. She has Bible study at her house every week, and she was just trying to drill me. I think she's trying to save me, but she's just asking question after question, and she cannot hear the answers. But my uncle, sitting right next to her, it's like, you know, he's right. That is exactly what the Bible says. Why had they never preached that before? You know, just on and on and on. God gave him an ear to hear. She just doesn't have it. But she's hungry. You know, she drinks all the milk she can get, but it's never going to supply the meat because she can't get it. And, you know, and it made me feel, you know, a little extra blessed. I was given that. You know, because like Pastor says all the time, it's difficult to understand, like, you know, it's just right there. Why can't you see it? But they cannot see it.
No, they can't. Amen. God bless Brother James, Brother Doug. Amen.
I'm thankful for the desire.
Amen.
For the Word of God. You know, I've been married to Renee now for 23 years.
Wow, it's beautiful.
And, you know, we...
Beautiful.
We've been through some things, you know.
Sure.
But the Word of God will help you overcome everything. I mean, I can't say it any clearer than that.
Amen.
You'll overcome everything as long as you get to the house.
Right.
But my mind's racing. You know, I got a lot of things on my mind. But I'm thankful for that girl. She's truly been a blessing in my life.
So,
looking forward to hearing the Word.
Amen.
You know, we talk about the written Word, but the living Word frees you more than the written Word.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't appreciate the living Word.
Amen. 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 God bless. Amen. Brothers, come and get the offering here.
Oh, I just want to thank God for being in this place.
Right.
For every testimony that helps us, for the Word of God that comes forth, I just want to play one song for you guys. We want to be a blessing to the body,
right.
And it's not the song that we said we were going to do, but we move by the inspiration.
Right.
There is no greater place than this. There's no greater time to be living, and there's no greater people than you people, than we are. Let's go ahead.
Amen.
Can we go down there?
Yeah, go wherever you want. We'll move the mic.
The song I talk about is what I'm thankful for the most. God doesn't start things that He's not going to finish. He would have never started it if He wasn't going to finish. We're ordained to be there, so that's what the song is like. He that began. Huh? Yeah. Is that okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm gonna do that. One moment, please. I threw a thing on, sister. Sorry, y'all.
Amen.
We were gonna do another song, but as I sit, listen to the testimonies and everything, I just said, this is the one. Sorry, Christy. That was me. I did that.
He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. To complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. In you. In you.
you're over there. I see. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sister Belinda, and then Sister Judy.
You know, I'm thankful to be here. I appreciate all the testimonies. I wish I had been here last Sunday night, but gosh golly, I'm going to be here tonight. Yeah. You know, I'm thankful because, you know, you wake up in the morning, you see the beautiful rain, and, you know, you look, you think about it. There's people who won't go to church because it's raining. They won't go to church because it's sunny outside. You know, but I thank God for that desire that no matter what comes or goes,
Amen.
What people say or don't say, a smile given or not given, I'm not a fair weather Christian.
Amen.
I thank God for the push because, like Sister Moore has always told me, God bless that sister. She tells me all the time, drive your stake. Keep your testimony.
Right.
You know, because there's things that come at your life, and my life is fine. God is good. I've seen God work. I've seen prayers be answered, like Brother John said.
Yes.
You know, when Sister Elise got up and said that Wednesday, it broke my heart because when my daughter said something to me about trauma bonding, I was like, no, God, no. But he's going to get the victory. I'm like, what in the world will people come talking about? You know, but I was like, Lord, no matter what, you know, my daughter said something to me. And it was like, Mommy, I don't know why you still go there. And I'm like, because I get something out of it.
Right.
It's giving me peace. Life comes, things go, but I have a solid something.
Amen.
This
yes.
helps me. This word helps me. It feeds me. That's why I stay.
Amen.
That's why I'm here.
Hey,
if you don't know, now you know.
Amen. Now you know.
Now I'm going to bring it on back.
Amen.
But God is
There's
good,
a believer.
And I love God. I'm here. I'm driving my stake. I drive
yes.
it every time, and I love the word. I love the music. You guys are rocking those that flute.
Oh, yeah.
I love the guitar. I just love it, and I thank God because no matter what, this word has filled me. This word has done something for me. I have believers that show me examples. I have a minister, a body that if I needed anything, if I need anything, gosh, you know, it's a blank slate, it's a blank check,
Amen.
And I'm thankful for what I get.
Amen. Amen. Sister Judy, you'll be last one.
All right. Here I am, Lord.
Yeah.
He takes all my trauma away.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he takes care of all my needs.
Yes. Amen.
I wasn't going to get up. You did it, Doug. You're all. Stephen and I, we've been married 23 years.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
He's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen. Amen.
And like you said, Jay, one time, thank God we went mad at each other at the same time.
Right.
You know? Because we've been through a few things, too.
Sure.
Amen.
But, you know, back in the day, you know, I wasn't supposed to remarry back in the day. This was on my fridge. For over 30 years, I've had this piece. Subscription of mustard seed.
Amen.
And the mountain, he moved.
Right.
I wanted God to move that mountain so bad.
Right.
I wanted a believer.
Right, man.
I wanted to be married to a believer.
Right.
Amen.
I didn't want just anybody.
Right.
No.
I wanted a believer.
Right, man.
I have the most wonderful believer.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
He has blessed me abundantly.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, don't just sit here and not get anything out of this. You know? Be careful who you yoke yourself to.
Right.
Right.
Because you'll yoke yourself to the wrong person.
Right.
Amen.
You may find someone that will treat you wonderful, but you're still going to be unevenly yoked.
Right.
Right.
There's going to be a time that you're not going to be able to communicate with each other.
That's right.
Because you're not evenly yoked.
Right. You're right, Judy.
You know, God has so blessed me
with
my marriage. With my revelation.
Amen.
With this body.
Amen.
I have no trauma.
Amen.
I am so free.
Amen.
With
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
But you know, I wasn't going to share this. And then Brother Doug got up. And I put it in my purse this morning because I thought, oh, I'm going to share this. But then I thought, well, I don't know. And then Brother Doug got up. I thought, you know, this is the perfect time for me to share this.
Yeah.
You know, even if you just take a little card and stick it on your fridge. There you go.
That's good. Yeah, it's a reminder.
Remind yourself
of
what's out there and what's in here. Be careful what you put yourself with because you can truly, truly mess your life up.
Oh,
yeah. You know, just take note. Just take time. Like Elise, you know, gosh, that was a beautiful testimony.
Wasn't it?
You had.
Oh, I love it.
7 years old, and you knew what you wanted. I mean, take note with that. You know, things that are coming forth, take note with that.
Listen.
Take note.
Amen.
And just realize and understand that this is your life. And you can be out there in a mess, and you can be out there traumatized, and you can be out there messed up. But if you're in here, you're going to receive everything you
need.
That's
right.
Every time you walk in that door, there is a promise that you will receive what you need.
Yes.
Because there's time after time after time I've come in, and I've had needs, and God has
taken
care of those needs. And more, not one time has He ever let me down.
Not
one time has He ever let me down. He's always taken care of me. Perhaps I didn't get everything I wanted. But He has always supplied every need I have ever had and beyond. And I just wanted to share my little note with
everyone. Amen. God bless you, Judy.
Amen.
Just announcements. Remember, we got Bible study tonight at 7. So I'm looking forward to that. And then on Friday the 22nd, we're going to be at Caleb and Andrea's house. The address is in the back. Looking forward to that as well. And then pray for those that are traveling and sick and not sick, but just pray for the body.
Yeah. Amen.
You'll cover it all if you start praying for the body. Never want to forget about Sister Anna and the Brinkmans and all that. Let's let's sing page 199. I give myself away. It's the key of F.
Jesus, we come this morning presenting the body, giving ourselves back to you for your service, knowing that we cannot do anything in ourselves. But all we can do is offer the vessel. Oh, the world don't understand why we do what we do, but the bride understands. We give you everything. We give you all our lives, our family, our friends, our work, our situations, our shortcomings. We give you everything. And Lord, you pick through that pile and find whatever it is that you can use. Oh, don't worry about the rest of the junk. It'll go away. But whatever it is in this vessel that you can use, Lord, you pull it out of that pile. We open our hands to you and just say, Lord, I'll give you everything. I don't want to hold back anything from you. We're here this morning because we want to present ourselves to you so that you can use. Lord, we've come to the part of this service where we want to move out of the way and let your word have its way this morning. This is the most important part of the service that's about to come forth now. Oh, the word's been going forth all morning, but Lord, this is a moment set aside that you can speak to our hearts and take the scripture and open it up to us. We can read it, but Lord, you have to reveal it. And I ask you to do so today. Touch those that are in need, those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that can't be here today. Bless your bride around the world, Lord. We're all pressing for the mark of the high calling. And we're doing it in different countries, in different manner, in different ways. But Lord, it's still all for your glory. Ask you to move me aside, Lord. Move both the speaker and the hearer aside. That you could come amongst us and walk these aisles. And you could take the words and speak it, then walk the aisles and reveal it. Have your way this morning. We need it and so badly. Speak to us, Father. Touch those who are sick. Help us today to just set it all aside, sickness and all. Set it aside so your word can do its perfect work. If it's healing, the word can do that. If it's a problem, the word can take care of that. If it's a shortness in our lives, the word can take care of that. Just speak to us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see you all here. Thank you for coming. It's always good to see you and to be able to spend a little time together. And I'm still amazed that God's even made me a pastor. I don't know how many years, but 27 or something, I don't know. 27, John? 27, but it's still hard to believe that but he's done it. I can't say he can't do it because it's already, you know, once it's done, it's done. Once the life has been lived, then you look back and just see what he's done. Look what the Lord has done is the way the song says. And so I'm privileged to be able to come and always be able to come and share and speak to you. I always pray that God blesses, and he does. It's not a service that he doesn't come. There's not a time that he doesn't show up. And there's not a time that he doesn't speak to us. He always speaks to us, and I am so grateful for that. Amen. And I'm grateful for the hearers because, you know, like Belinda said, they wonder why we come. They don't get what we get. People don't get what we get. It's an inside teacher. And where most people don't want it, I can't live without it. So it's good to be able to come and share, and I'm looking forward again to this evening, be able to spend a little time with the Bible study, and we'll see what the Lord has to do there. But for this morning, I want to spend a little time in the scripture. I've got some scriptures I want to read and a topic I want to talk on, and I want to go, and if you turn with me over to Genesis chapter 18, we want to start there. I was telling myself, I started laughing, so I'm going to go from Genesis to Revelation today. But we do that every service. Genesis is the seed chapter, and the Revelation is the revealing chapter. So it takes Revelation to explain what Genesis was about. So that's why we go there. Sometimes people don't know why we use certain scriptures, or they think we talk about the same thing. We're never talking about the same thing. If it seems like it's the same thing to use because you didn't hear it the first time. But this is exciting to me. I mean, I've never had something that could last this long and still be just as good as it was when I first began. Actually, it's better because it's so much more clear. And every time God speaks, it ties into what he's already brought. So it doesn't do anything but help us more. And in the hour that we're living in, it's good to be able to see God, to really see God, to know what God's doing, to know the hour that we're living in, and to see how he's blessing us in so many ways. And it's a privilege to be able to stand with him in this hour. Like Brother James said, that he's talking to his family, and they don't get it. And even though they got the Bible, their teachers, you know, they're like Nicodemus. You know, you being a leader of the Jews and don't know this. That's what Jesus was marveled at. He says, you don't know this. And that's the way we feel sometimes when we talk to doctors of divinity, because we do. We talk to these really smart people and they've got all the degrees and they've read all the Bible. But the problem isn't reading the Bible. The problem is understanding what you read. That's what the Ethiopian said to Philip. He said, you know, Philip asked him, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm reading the Bible. We just got out of church. And he asked him, he said, well, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless a man come and show it to me? Amen. So unless it's taught to you, you're not going to get this on your own. It won't be by man's wisdom that we get this. So to be able to sit here and really understand and pick this up, you are rare. Brother Branham said, you're one in a million to be able to see this and really understand it and to put it to work in your life. Because it actually does. When you take this word and you put it to work in your life, it changes your life. Right. It really does. It changes your walk. It changes your desire. It changes your goal. It changes everything. People think it's not doing nothing. Oh, my goodness. And they look and all they see is your problems. But they don't know how far he's brought me from. You know, the song says, if you could see where he's brought me from to where I am today, I'm a whole lot better than I could be. You might see my flaws, but I'm better with my flaws than I was before I started this walk with Christ. So he's still working on me. He's still turning my life around. He's still doing what he wants to do. And I'm proud and glad to be a part of this thing. So the scripture I want to go over here to read is a well-known scripture. I want to read a couple of verses here, and then we'll move on forward. Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 1. This is Abraham. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door, in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, singular, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I want to title this morning's message, God's Three Angels. And I want to go over this because this scripture here plays a part to show you what God's doing now. Right. Now here Abraham was. He was at the time up on the side of the mountain, and God came to visit him. Right. But God wasn't just by himself. There were two other angels with him. But Abraham didn't see three. He wasn't a Trinitarian. He didn't see three. All he saw was one. All he talked to was one. All he focused his attention to was to the one. And he called him my Lord. And the thing about this is, those three angels, when they came to him, they all had something to do. God doesn't bring you an angel and doesn't have anything to do. So here Abraham's sitting there. And when these angels come to him, they were something special about these angels. Right. They weren't your typical angels like appeared at the tomb of Jesus, who was one at the head, one at the foot. Or they weren't like the angel that come to Joseph or go to Mary. And they weren't like those angels. These were a little bit different. These were men. These were men who could walk, who could talk, who could eat, who could get tired. These are a little bit different. So when Abraham saw him, because see, Abraham had been dealing with God for a while. But when he saw him this time, he was a little bit different than the other time. And when Abraham saw him, he said, "My Lord, come and sit down. You look tired. You look hungry. You look thirsty. Let me feed you." See, you don't normally feed angels.
No.
Angels don't eat.
Right.
See, that's what you got to understand about this man here and these angels that came to Abraham. These angels could eat.
Right.
And it was important to note this because it was showing us that Abraham met people that was the Word of God in skin.
Yes. Amen.
And it was important to notice that because that is what was to happen again.
Amen.
So Abraham invited them in. But over here in Hebrews chapter 7, let's just jump over there real quick. Gonna jump over here to Hebrews chapter 7. If I can get there, I got all kind of stuff in here.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, and we're gonna start right at the first verse. I'm gonna read a couple of verses here. For this Melchizedek. Now, who is it, Melchizedek?
Right.
Melchizedek was a man who came to talk to Abraham.
Right.
Same one.
Yeah.
Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, see, it wasn't the first time that Abraham had seen Melchizedek when he came to the tent. That wasn't his first encounter with him. He had already had seen Melchizedek because when Lot got in trouble and Lot got arrested and taken captive and all of his family and all that, the word came back to Abraham and told him, "Abraham, your brother's son, your nephew, is having some trouble. And you got to go and help him." So Abraham went down and beat and killed him. Freed Lot. But then after he freed Lot, here comes Melchizedek.
Right.
And that's what it's talking about here. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace.
Right.
Now, here's a key point about Melchizedek. Now remember, he ate and he drank. But here in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 7 says, without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Melchizedek was God.
Amen.
He's the only one that could be God because it didn't have a beginning, didn't have an end, no beginning of life, no ending of life. So Melchizedek was dealing with Abraham, and Abraham was dealing with God. But remember, when he come to him, he came in him in skin.
Amen.
And it was important to know that because a lot of people don't even pay that any attention. Most people don't even know who Melchizedek was. And then if they know who Melchizedek is, they don't know that he was a man.
Right.
He was a man. Brother Brown said he just picked up some dust, blew in it, and built a house for him. Temporary.
Right.
Temporary house. He built himself a temporary house. And he didn't have to create Melchizedek and have him come through the womb of a woman. He just spoke the word and put him in skin.
Amen.
And he was in skin when he met Abraham.
Right.
True. True.
Amen. Won't read it, but over there, Melchizedek. Well, we just read there. We said when Melchizedek, Brother Brennan said, when Melchizedek met Abraham from the slaughter of the kings, he was a king of Jerusalem, a priest, which was Christ. It was God. No one else could be Melchizedek but Christ himself. God himself, rather. See, God himself, because he was without father, without mother. See, Jesus had both father and mother. It wasn't even Jesus, even though it was. Melchizedek and Jesus is the same.
Right.
That's right.
But it was Melchizedek, because Melchizedek didn't have father or mother. Jesus had a mother. Jesus come through the womb. Without father, without mother.
Right.
See, Jesus had both father and mother. So this man was without father, without mother, without beginning of days or ending of life. And whoever he is still living. He still lives. He's still here.
Yeah.
Melchizedek is here today.
That's right.
He's not gone.
Right.
He's just moved. He's still here today. See, and he was king at the time of Salem, which interpreted king of peace, Shalom, king of Jerusalem, who met Abraham and gave him wine and bread, communion, after the battle. And the very type there is the seventh chapter of Hebrews. We find it. Now, give him bread and wine after the battle was over. Abraham had a meal with Melchizedek. So what I'm bringing out here is that Melchizedek wasn't just anybody. Now, he was one of the three angels, and we'll look at him,
right.
But there were two other angels with him.
Right.
So when Melchizedek came, he was coming to him as Son of Man. Yes. Remember, the Word made flesh is the Son of Man.
Right.
That's the only time you have the Son of Man. You got Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. I got it in here. But when you're talking about the Son of Man, you're talking about the Word of God made flesh. You're talking about God housed in a human being.
Yeah.
Talking about God living and moving in people.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Melchizedek was Son of Man. He was the Word of God in skin.
Amen.
And he come to Abraham and ate with him. See, we don't know how important that is. Because we almost think that God's got to be something out here, but God can be in skin.
Yeah.
God can actually live in skin.
Amen.
He can eat, he can sleep,
yeah.
He can get tired.
Amen.
So it's so important for us to understand what was going on with Melchizedek, because it was typing out what God was going to do at the end time.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, over there in Genesis chapter 18, don't go there, but just to read the last couple of verses here, because those other two angels that were with him, one angel stayed with Abraham, and the other two angels went to Sodom. They had two different missions. They had two different things to do. And over there in Genesis chapter 18, verse 21 said, I will go down, is what the angel said. And I thought this was interesting looking at it, because though they were three, they were one.
Yeah.
He said, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it.
Yeah.
That's verse 21, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now, that angel didn't go down, but yet the other two did.
Yeah.
So even though those three angels were doing different jobs, they were still from God.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people think that the God sent the angels down there, but it was still his work.
Right.
And here Melchizedek said, I'm going to go down there, but God wasn't going down there. He sent his other two angels. And verse 22 says, and the men turned their faces from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
Right.
Melchizedek stayed. So it's showing you that Melchizedek had something to do with Abraham, and those other two angels had something to do with Lot.
Amen.
And the reason I want to bring those other two angels into the picture is because those two angels are important to the hour that we're living in, as well as Abraham.
Yes.
When those two angels went down to Sodom, they had a job to do. Now, Brother Branham typed out those two angels
right.
as Billy Graham
yeah.
and Oral Roberts.
Right.
But the thing about those two angels, they didn't have a bunch of signs and wonders and miracles. The one miracle and the one sign that they did do, which it seems like it was good, but it wasn't. They went down there and they smote the people of Sodom with blindness.
Yes, they did.
Amen.
Now you say, well, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts,
They had great ministries, and they did.
Yeah.
Billy Graham and Oral Roberts had a lot of good things on to do, and they did.
Yeah.
But the job was that they smote Sodom with blindness. You don't hardly think that's important, but that's real important.
Yeah.
You wonder why people can't see? Brother James?
Yeah.
That's why.
Right.
The angel's been visiting them. And those two angels that went down to Sodom, everybody concentrate, and the Sodom condition was homosexuality, wine drinking, smoking, running around doing the lifestyle of the people were gone.
Right.
That was Sodom. But the church world concentrates on Sodom, but they don't realize that they're sitting right in the middle of it.
Amen.
They don't realize that the blindness that those two angels blinded the people with was the two angels blinding the church world of the hour that we're living in. Those two angels went there and they had a message for the people of Sodom. It wasn't that the people of Sodom didn't have a message. No, they had a message.
Amen.
Lot had a message. Lot had a messenger. He had two messengers, as a matter of fact. One was Billy Graham. One was Oral Roberts. You said that's awful to say their name. No, it's not, because they were from God, just like the angel that was Melchizedek.
Amen.
I'm not saying Billy Graham and Oral Roberts weren't of God. They were of God. They just had a job to do.
Amen.
They did their job perfectly.
Amen.
They did their job just right.
Amen.
They did exactly what they were ordained to do. Those angels went down to Sodom and did exactly what they were ordained to do.
Amen.
But they were ordained to smite the people with blindness.
Amen.
That's in chapter 19 of Genesis. But the man put forth their hand, because they were going after those two angels.
Amen.
The man put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Verse 10. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness.
Right.
See, they got to the door.
Mm-hmm.
Church world gets to the door. But that's as far as they get.
Right.
They can't get any further because they can't see. You can't fault a man because he's blind. I can't fault the church world because they're blind. They're blinded just like Israel was blinded. The Bible says that Israel was blinded in part that the Gentiles might come in. So blindness is not always a bad thing. It took blindness to get the word to the Gentiles, and it'll be blindness that takes the word to the Jews. They smote him with blindness. They got to the door. Jesus is the door.
Amen.
They can get right up to the word. They can get right up to the truth. They can get right up. They can read the Bible. They can understand a lot of doctrines. They can understand a lot of word, but they can't get past the blindness. They'll never see.
Wow.
And those two angels weren't doing a bad thing. They were doing what they were ordained to do. They were sent to save Lot. Lot was the foolish virgin. Lot were people who didn't know God, thought they knew God. Lot thought he was serving God. It grieved Lot about the condition of the world. It grieves the church world about the condition of the world. But Lot couldn't change it. The church can't change it. As much as the church try to control things, the world's getting worse and worse. It's the world's not getting better. We have more churches than we've ever had. We got more preachers than we've ever had. We got more theology and seminaries than we ever had. And the church and the world is just as far off from God as they've ever been.
Amen.
And they can't see it. They will never see it. You will never you will never convert a denomination.
Amen.
You won't do it. The most you'll get is somebody to come out of her.
Yeah.
But you won't change a church. You won't change a denomination. The Lutheran's going to be the Lutheran. The Baptist's going to be the Baptist. The Pentecostal's going to be the Pentecostals.
Amen.
Catholics are going to be the Catholics. You won't change them. They're blinded.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus told them over there, he said, because of your tradition, you made the word of God. He didn't say they didn't have the word. They had the word, but they didn't know what to do with the word.
Right.
You look at people who have the word and don't know what to do with it. They're just as confused
right.
as anybody in the world.
Right.
just as blind as everybody in the world.
Amen.
In the message, out of the message, if you don't have a revelation, you're blind.
Amen.
You can sit in the house of God and be blind.
Amen.
You can sit in the message and be blind. Amen. You can be in Superior Avenue and be blind.
Amen.
You must be born again.
Amen.
The only way to get eyes saved is to be born again.
Amen.
The only way to really move into the light. Because see, the Word is the light.
Amen.
What gives us eyes saved is the Word, and the Word helps you to see what's going on around you. Church will have no clue. They've been blinded.
Amen.
Brother Branham said over there, and Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, said, he came down. There was Lot down in Sodom, the lukewarm church member, half backslidden. And there was three angels that come from heaven and came first to Abraham, who represented the called out group out of Sodom. They already been called out. And the two of the angels went down to Sodom and preached. Never done very much miracles, a modern Billy Graham. But he identified himself as being a servant of God. And immediately after Lot came out, the lukewarm left the city. The fire destroyed him.
Right.
See, the thing about it, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts had a ministry. They were doing God a service. They were here to preach to the denominational world, and they did their job. They did their job. Now remember, the fire did not come as long as the angels were in Sodom. As long as Billy Graham and Oral Roberts was here, the fire couldn't come. They're both gone. They've left Sodom. They've left the church. They've left the denomination. Now, and it didn't stop Sodom from being blinded. They're just still just as blinded as they ever were. Church world's just as blinded as they ever were. They still cannot see God. But there was a group of people that was having a conversation with God.
Amen.
Yes.
There was a group of people who were fellowshipping with God.
Come on.
Remember, there were three angels.
Right. Yeah.
Two of them went down to Sodom and blinded them.
Yeah.
Their message blinded them.
Yeah.
Their message caused the people not to be able to see.
Right. Amen.
But there was another group.
Yeah.
That were up on the hillside. Wasn't even in Sodom. You know, people ask me, and I've had them ask me recently, why we had this last church age, black totally.
Uh-huh.
It's because the bride is not in Sodom.
Amen.
She's not in the church world.
No.
She's not blinded like they are. She's on the hillside. The third angel didn't go down there with them. He stayed on that hillside with Abraham.
Amen.
Amen.
And though the church loses and ends up in total darkness, that is what the church looks like at the end of the age.
Yeah.
Now, at the beginning of the age, there was a little bit of light in there, but at the end of the age, there was no more light.
Right.
Why? Because the bride is not in Sodom. She's not down in the middle of that sin. She's on the hillside fellowshipping with that last angel.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had the Word made flesh in her presence. She had the Word in skin in her presence. And what did that angel tell Abraham? One of them, two of the angels blinded the church. What did the third angel say? Abraham, can I hide anything? He was revealing everything to Abraham. The rest of the church world went in total darkness, total disbelief, and couldn't understand or see a thing. And here Abraham is seeing everything.
Amen.
That was the story of what was happening down there in Sodom. Luke 17, verse 26. Let's flip over there for a minute.
Amen, Lord.
We know these scriptures, but this is tying in everything together. Now listen to what Jesus said. It's red letter. Sit up and pay attention.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Number one, there's only 2 days of the Son of Man. Word made flesh. Remember, Melchizedek was word made flesh. Jesus came. He was word made flesh. At the end time, we are word made flesh. Jesus said at one point, he said, you're going to long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Because it wasn't going to be there every day. Wasn't going to be available every day. So as it was in the day of Noah, what did they do? They did eat. They drank. They married wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the floods came and destroyed them all. Noah sat there for 7 days and nobody could be saved. Jesus was trying to tell us it's going to happen the same way at the end time. And he was using Noah and he was using the types of the Old Testament to show us the hour that we're going to be living in. And here Noah was in a time, just think about Noah. He had the message of the hour. All that anybody had to do was get on the boat. Seemed like that was real easy. Simple thing to do. Seemed like in this hour, all you got to do is get to the house. Come and listen. If you sit here long enough and hear enough and believe enough, like I said, God guarantee your salvation. But people won't do it. They got their ideas, they got their traditions, they got their plans, they got their reasons. In Noah's day, they had their reasons. I'm sure a lot of them had a reason. Yeah, I'll get around to it. Noah's crazy. I don't believe him, but you know, if I start seeing rain, I'll run and get on board. See, they thought, I'd never seen rain before, but he says it's gonna fall from the sky. If it starts falling, then I'll get on a boat. But see, what they didn't take into consideration, that the door was gonna be closed before one drop of rain fell. So they stayed out as long as they could. See, a lot of our people that used to go here, they feel like, well, I'll run back. If I see the end's going to happen, I know where to go. I'll run back to the house. If I see the rapture happening, I got 30 days. I'll run to the house. But what you don't understand, the door was closed in 63. And we've been sitting here a long time. We've been looking like we don't know what, we're not going anywhere. It looked like nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. But the bride is locked in and the world is locked out. They can't get in and we can't get out. And if you're trying to wait to get in here, coming through the emergency entrance and the exit, it ain't going to happen. You say, oh, man, what's going to happen is your very life will prove who you are.
Amen.
Because had you had done the right thing now, you'd have been on board.
Amen.
But you're out there hanging out in the shadow saying, well, it's not that far. I can make this. If I see the door starting to close, I can make it. If I see the world getting really bad, I can make it. If I see the church start losing members and disappearing, I got 30 days. I can make it. Doesn't work that way. That's just like people say, well, if Jesus were here, I'd serve him. If I was there 2,000 years ago, I'd serve God. I'd serve Jesus. I'd follow him. If you ain't following Jesus today, you wouldn't have followed him if he's standing in a flowing robe in front of you. Your unbelief is the proof of it. Your very actions, your very manifestation shows who you are. If you wouldn't have got on the boat, you say, oh, no, if I was in Noah's day, I'd get on the boat. Where are you this morning?
Amen.
Where are you at right now?
Come on now.
If you're in the ark now, you'd have been in the ark then. Right. You think those people are stupid because they didn't get in the ark. You're stupid because you didn't get in the ark. Your very manifestation shows you don't have it.
Amen.
You say, well, I can get it. No, you can't. The door was closed 7 days before the first drop of rain hit. And Jesus said, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man comes on the scene, all it's going to do is show a manifestation of who's who.
Right.
And if you're in Christ, it'll show.
Yeah.
If you're out of Christ, it'll show. So it ain't, we ain't trying to persuade you to the altar. We're not trying to pull you into the ark. I already know the door's closed. If you come in at all, it's because you were already accounted for. You're already a part of it. It's not because you decided, okay, today's the day. You ain't deciding nothing. Your manifestation shows who you are. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I can try to whitewash it. I can try to soften it up or try to make it neater. But you look at you.
Right.
Look at yourself.
Amen.
And Jesus said, search the scriptures.
Right.
In them you think.
Thank you.
Right. You think you're saved.
Amen.
You think you're ready for the journey. But look at your manifestation.
Wow.
You're just like you are in the day of Noah. You aren't in the ark.
Because
you're not here.
Right.
Oh.
You say, well, I'm not there, but in spirit I am. Yeah, tell that to Noah.
Yeah.
Your spirit might be saved. But your very manifestation shows who you are. I don't even have to say nothing. You tell me, oh, I'm a believer. Now, good, I'll believe right with you.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I belong here. Great. Oh, I'm one of them. Great. Then I don't see you. There's no manifestation of Christ in your life. Nothing's changed. Nothing's dropped. But yet you're going to try to tell me I'm on the ark. As it was in the day of Noah.
Come on now.
You're locked out just like everybody else was.
Yeah,
think you're ready. Not. Living it up out there. Marrying, giving in marriage. More divorces now than ever.
Right.
Why is it that the world is worse off and we have more churchy people than ever? Over 60% marriages now, I think it is, are in divorce. This is a sign of the time that we're living. You hear somebody this morning and been married 21, 23. That's unheard of these days.
That is.
You're lucky to get... What is it you got? They're lucky to get 5 years in.
Yeah.
What do they say at work? You get, when you get your 5 years, it used to be 10. 10 years. It used to be 10 years. And they had to lower because nobody stayed on their job. Yeah, invested. And it's like marriages. You get 5 years and you're lucky. Most of them marry 1 or 2 years and they're through. Why? Everybody got rights. Everybody wants. Nobody's trying to do. See, you should be married trying to serve God together.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Amen.
It ain't about a bunch of kids. It ain't about a boat and a house and retirement.
Right.
You're trying to find somebody, like Judy said, somebody that's going to serve God with you.
Amen.
That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for some hotsy-totsy, some quick fix somebody that's going to make you feel good for a year or two.
Right.
After a while, that's going to get old.
Right.
Only thing that don't get old is the Word of God.
Amen.
You better find somebody that'll stand by your side through thick and thin. Somebody that'll stay true to you. Somebody that'll stay where the Word is.
Amen.
I'd rather be single than get the wrong one.
Right.
So you need to get married. No, I don't. Paul said, I'd rather you be like me.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're like Paul, he didn't marry. He said, I can get around faster. I can do more for God.
Amen.
And I'm not saying marriage is bad. Marriage is a wonderful thing. Best thing that can happen to you outside of salvation. But you know what? The wrong marriage is the worst thing that can happen to you outside of salvation. But this generation, the marrying, giving and marrying, drinking, eating places everywhere. Can't go nowhere you'll find eating places. Restaurants everywhere. Fast foods. Brother Locke said there's no love in it.
None. Amen, Lord.
He fixed some greens and some beans at his birthday party.
Right.
You could taste the love.
Oh,
it wasn't out of a can. It wasn't microwaved. Takes time to show love.
Amen.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. This fast food generation, we don't even know how to cook.
Ah, you're right.
Come on, y'all. Amen. Microwave. Uh-huh. Everything comes out of the microwave. Right. Yeah. You don't eat it fast, it gets cold. You know I'm telling you the truth, because I've done it.
Amen.
Got to grind and hurry up and eat it.
Amen.
Days are gone where people are going to really sit down. Families don't even sit down together to eat a meal together.
Right.
Grab their plate and go sit in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Need to take time out to be a family.
Yeah.
Need to take time out to raise your kids.
Right.
Need time out to have your wife talk to you and you talk to her.
Yes.
Need time out to have a meal together sometime that you can stop the world and make sure everybody's okay.
Amen.
Kids might tell you something at dinner that they hadn't told nobody all day. But because we're such a fast food generation, we don't even take time to eat together. Don't take time to do nothing together.
Grab
your plate and go. You look at your kids. Find out where you feeding them.
Right.
That's a good question. Where are you feeding your kids?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. I've raised my kids. I've already done it. But I'm trying to help you young people who are trying to raise your kids. If you want your kids to have a home life, you got to put them in there. Stop the house. Turn the TV off. Slide them in under the table. Say, stop it. We're going to sit here and we're going to eat dinner together.
It works. Please.
Don't fix your plate and go to your bedroom. That's the hour we're living in. You say, how did he know that? This is the generation we're living in. This fast food carry-all generation. We don't have time for nothing anymore. We get mad at a restaurant if they get late bringing us our food. Waiting in a fast food line, mad because they're slow. Texting, telephones, computers, everything's fast, fast, fast. Everything's on demand. But somewhere along the line, we need to stop.
Yes.
Be still.
Yes.
Recognize you, what you're here to do.
Yes.
You're here to raise your kids. You don't just let them run wild and run loose.
Right.
Amen.
That's the truth.
You're right.
If you don't put it in them, it ain't going.
Amen. Amen.
They're not going to get it off of TV.
No.
Putting them in front of the TV to teach them something ain't going to happen.
Right.
Morals are gone. Correction's gone.
Right.
Everybody's got rights. Everybody has a right to do whatever they want.
Right. Amen.
No accountability.
Right.
Parents aren't accountable. That's them. That's just, no, they're your kids.
Amen.
Whip them.
Right. Amen.
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 You say you can't say that. I'm sorry, the Bible did.
Sure.
The best you do is going to be the grace of God if they turn out right. But you gotta put it in them.
Right.
This Noah generation is not gonna do it. They're fast food, marrying, divorcing. Nobody holds on to nothing. And I got a right to get rid of you. Well, no, you sort of promised God you were gonna stay with me.
Yeah.
They did that all the way until Noah entered the ark. And the floods came and destroyed them all. This world destination is to be destroyed. This whole world is in Sodom condition. People are looking and think it's just the gays. It's the gays, it's the marriages, it's the divorces, it's the fast food. It's the whole world cosmos.
Amen.
The whole world cosmos is in bad shape.
Right.
And all the churches we build is not going to fix it. Because Jesus already said,
Amen.
It's going to be this way.
Amen.
The best we can do is plan on getting out of here.
Amen.
Because it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse.
Right.
Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, They did eat. They drank. They brought. They sowed. They planted. They built. Sounds like this generation. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The end of it all is destroyed. The answer to Noah and the answer to Lot is the destruction of the whole world. Destruction of it all. It's coming to an end. It's not going to get better. The only thing you can do is raise your kids in the admonition of the Lord. Put God in them at home, because they're not going to get it at school. They're not going to get it anywhere else. Put it in them. Pray to God just helps you and helps your family. And pray that God just keeps his hand on you, because that's the only thing we've got. This world is gone. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the promises of God, I wouldn't even want children to come into this world. You say, you can say that. You had your kids. No, I felt that way when I had my kids. Because this world is in a bad shape. And you turn your kids over to the world to teach them. So if you're not counteracting what they're teaching them there, when they come home, all they're going to have is what they're being taught there. There's people, they talk about the world being flat. And some of the stuff is just stupid. But they're teaching it. They teach them there is no God, Big Bang Theory, on and on and on. You better explain the Big Bang Theory to your kids.
Amen.
Tell them how it works, because there was a Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's not a theory. It was a Big Bang. Uh-huh. God said, let there be.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Amen.
Scientists just don't know how it happened.
Right.
They know it happened, but they don't know how. They don't know how Jesus got resurrected from the dead. They know the tomb is empty, but they don't know how it got empty.
Right.
People get healed. They know they got healed, but they don't know how. So don't spend too much time waiting on the scientists to catch up with God, because they'll never do it.
Amen.
Question I had is, whatever happened to those two groups? And there was two groups. There was the Abrahamic group, and there was the Lot group. Whatever happened to those two different groups of people? And I'll go over to Revelation chapter 3 to find out. So if we go over there, these are scriptures that we know, but I love it because they all tie. Where the whole world is missing it, trying to figure it out, they don't understand how it works. But we see how it all ties together. Told you I was going from Genesis to Revelation. Over here in Revelations, chapter 3, starting at verse 14, this talks about the hour that we're living in. And what I wanted to bring out here, I could read the whole thing, but this lady is seeing age. They were in bad shape. And they thought they knew God, but they didn't. Remember, that's the last age, last church age. We had seven ages, and the last was Laodicea. The last age that we had was right here. And listen, I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to read it. We know it, but I want to read it. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean, right, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my... This is talking about the church. People look at this and they read this chapter 3 in Revelation and they apply that to the world. God was not worried about the world. He was talking about the church. And he said the last church age, they were neither cold nor hot. They're churchy enough to go to the house, but not churchy enough to really get saved. They come for weddings, funerals, come at Christmas and Easter, come for special events, come for dedications. But that's it. lukewarm. Just enough God to make you look like the world, but not enough God to make you look like the Son of Man. Just enough God to make everybody feel like you're okay, but you know you're not. Lukewarm, not hot or not cold. That's the church world he's talking to here, not the world. People think these churches that he's talking to is the world. No, it's the church, the condition that the church is in. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He ain't got nothing to do with you. It doesn't mean you're going to stop being lukewarm. Oh, you'll still be lukewarm, but you just won't have God in your life. You'll go through the routine. Do you realize the church world is going through routines? God left them in 1963. And they're still doing the same services as they did then. They don't even know he's gone. Their prophets, their angels are gone. They don't even know they're gone. They're still going through the same old 6 and 7 that they're gone. And it's such a machine now that you don't even need, man, you don't even need God to do anything. It just cranks along. Come in, sing a couple of songs, collect the offering, get the preacher, shout a little bit, play the music, get them loud, get them shout, and send them home. And to do that, time after time after time, week after week. Do that, and they don't even realize that they don't even have God in there. Now, the anointing is there, and that's what's tricky about it, because people think because they're anointed, God's there. No, if God's word is not there, God is not there. Oh, you can get anointed. Oh, you can speak in tongues. Oh, you can shout. You can run aisles. You can feel good. You can have all those things. A good song will make you weep. But if the word is not there, because John 1:1, in the beginning is the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. If God is not there, then God can't even help you.
Amen.
And because the anointing is there, they think it's God. The anointing is not God. That's his spirit that's just raining on the just and the unjust. But unless the word of God is there, you don't even have God in your midst. They wonder why you come to this church, because the word's here. You say, well, I go down to this church and I get so blessed and anointed by it, and we get turned on, and God just comes in there. They shout the whole service. But unless the word of God is preached, you've missed God. And that's the thing that we've got that churches don't have. They say, I love going here. You know why I love going here? Because the word is preached here. You know why I love going here? Because God is here. When Abraham was with the Son of Man on the mountainside, there was no place else in the world he wanted to be. He didn't want to be down in Sodom. Though two angels went to Sodom, he didn't say, wait a minute, I'd rather go with the two. No, he stayed with the word made flesh. Oh, they're churchy, they're lukewarm, they gather, they get money. If on the outward appearance, you'd almost think that God's there. Because thou sayest, verse 17, that I'm rich, because you got money, and increased with goods, and had need of nothing. I don't even know what we got. Our church, we got $1 million church, and we got all this going on. We got, just money, money, money. We got so many people coming that we got to go to a stadium. Make a stadium a church. And that shows you that God's with us. No, it doesn't. The Roman arenas were full. It ain't the ball. Yeah, Brother Lockett, the ball games fill up. I go by a place that they have bingo on Wednesday nights or something. The parking lot. You can't even get in it. So your numbers don't please me. No, your numbers don't turn me on. Your numbers is not proof that God's there. Because I had a preacher tell me, he said, Nate, if God was going to send a prophet at the end of time, wouldn't he let the churches know? No! He never has done it that way. The church is always the last one to find out. The church is always the last one to see God. The church is always the last one to know that God even's here. If they ever know. Rich, increase of goods and have need of nothing. And knoweth it not. Don't even know this. I'm trying to tell you today, they don't know this. That thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What did those two angels cause? Right there. Constant to be naked, wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. They blinded them. The Gentiles were blinded at the end time because God is about ready to go back to the Jews. God blinded the Jews to get to the Gentiles. Now God's blinding the Gentiles to go back to the Jews. And the church world doesn't have a clue.
Amen, Lord.
They're gathering, they're coming together. Their messages have come, blinded them, and gone. And they don't even know it. They think they're rich and increase the goods because they got numbers, because they got people, because they got a lot of things. But they don't know that they're blind, wretched, miserable, poor, naked, not clothed at all. You can't tell the church world they're naked. You can't tell the church world they're blind. You can't tell the church world they're missing God. You can't tell the church world God's not there. And you go in there, you'd almost be convinced yourself. You're sitting there, you see the music going, and you see them rejoicing and having a good time and anointing falling, and you're wondering, how could God not be in that? The rain. It rained this morning. Clarice was working in the garden yesterday. Trying to get rid of the weeds. Trying to protect the plants. Doing the best she could. Well, but it rained this morning. Yes, it just didn't come down in little buckets on top of her plants.
No.
It rained on the entire garden.
Yes. Yes.
God's anointing don't just fall on the bride. It falls on the entire world.
Amen.
Yes. The plants say, oh, thank you, Lord, for the rain. I enjoy it. I need it. The weed said, thank you, Lord, for the rain. I need it. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. People don't understand how it works. They think, Nate, you're cruel. You're just trying to say God's not in our church and he's just in yours. No, I'm saying God's not in churches, period. God is in his word. He's in his word. And in order for you to find God, you got to find his word. And I'm not talking about creeds and traditions. I'm talking about finding out, thus said the Lord. Abraham was on the mountainside with that angel, and that angel was revealing the word to him.
Amen.
While the rest of the world is groping in darkness, the bride has, thus saith the Lord. You say, oh, you always just think you're the only ones. I don't think I'm the only one, but I am one. I don't think I'm the only one that's got it, but I got it. You find the word, you found God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The thing that brings us here is the W-O-R-D. The thing that keeps us here is the W-O-R-D. You let me stop preaching the word, and all of you run for your life. And I wouldn't blame you. You say you're rich and increase of good. You don't have. You're blind. You can't convince the church world they're blind. They might hear me this morning and say, oh, Nate, you're just out of your mind. You're just beside yourself. You just think it's only you. It's not about me. It's about the word. You shouldn't be looking for a church with just some spiritual, emotional gathering. You shouldn't be looking for a church that's got a lot of numbers and big groups in there. You say, oh, you're just saying that because you got a small church. No, I'm telling you how to find a church that has God.
Right.
You find a church that's bringing it word upon word. When you find a man that's bringing it word upon word, you found God.
Amen.
And at the end time, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, when Abraham was on the mountainside, he was being fed the word of God. God said, I'm going to show you everything I'm going to do. That's what happened with the church world.
Brother Branham said, but when you see the Son of Man revealed, the Word came back in human flesh. A man that eat the flesh of calf, drink the milk of cow, eat cakes that was made of the hearth, and was called Elohim. Amen. A man with dusty clothes on, God manifested in flesh. There he was on earth, manifesting in the flesh, and said, as it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man is being revealed in the last days, there would be in the world would be in Sodom condition. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you might be, this is the hour. And the interpretation belongs to God. May God open our blinded eyes to the scripture promises. Know that we're living in the last days. This world is blind. It's in a Sodom condition. It's in a condition where they can't even see God. They don't even know what God looks like. They don't know what God sounds like. And they're going about it because they're going to church. They think that's good enough. That's why the world is getting worse. All the churches they have are not making it better. The thing that makes it better is the Word of God. Right. And I'm not saying they don't have some Word. Right. But part Word is not enough. No. You have to have the full seed Word of God to bring a plant to life. Yeah. You can't just say, you say, well, they do a lot of good. Right. They preach a lot of good things. They have a lot of good sayings. That might be well and done, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. You can't just take 30% God. You can't just take 60% of God's word. You, in the hour that we're living in now, has to have all the word. Every bit of it. You got to receive the whole book. It's not good enough for you to just come here and act like you want to pick and choose what you want. You got to take every bit of this thing. The bride will take every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Brother Brown says she'll turn quickly to the word. We're not sitting here in this church here trying to say we're the only ones, this, this, and this. No. You stay with the word. When you're looking for a church that you want to take your family to, you find a church that's bringing it word upon word. When they start talking Trinitarian doctrine, that ain't the word. When they start talking false water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ain't the word. When they try to make tongues the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, that ain't the word. When they try to tell you got to pay your debts and you got to get out of purgatory, that ain't the word. When they try to tell you Mary was virgin born like Jesus was, that ain't the word. When they tell you she was miraculously concepted, that ain't the word. Amen. When they try to tell you that all these things, those things are just man's dogmas. Those aren't the word of God. Right. When you come to a place where they try to tell you that this good living and standing up and doing this and doing that is going to get you to heaven, that ain't the word. Amen. Run for those things. Amen. Get away from those things. Those are the things that blind you. Amen. They're blinders to the people. And they can't even get to God because of those blinders. And then they look at us and they say, well, you don't do this. You don't do that. We don't have this. We don't have that. We have the word. If I got the word, there should be nothing else you should be looking at. If you're looking at anything else other than the word of God, you missed it. You're blind and can't see it far off. So it's an hour that we're living in, the day that we're living in. It's going to be the bride that sees. Brother Branham said here, identified Christ of all ages. Jesus said in St. Luke 17, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the return when the Son of Man will be made manifest. Not Son of God now, Son of Man be made manifest. When he is being revealed, made known to his church, Son of Man will be revealed just before the promised Son. Abraham has seen God in many different forms, in a light and in a vision. But here he was, God in a man, just before the waited and promised Son appeared. Jesus said, before the promised Son returns again, Elohim will make himself, his word, manifest in flesh. God, this is the hour we're living in. Yes. Elohim was here with Abraham, walking with him, talking with him. He was the word of God made flesh. People miss that. They don't look for the word in skin. Just because, when they, you stink like we do.
You eat like we do. You have to eat. You have to rest. You do, you good, you do, you do. They see all that. But what they don't see is a word made flesh. And not just in me. It's the word made flesh in a many-membered body. Right. Brother Brandon said, God will never be in one man alone again. Amen. Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat falls in the ground, it abides alone. He's not abiding alone today because he's got a many-membered body. The word is being made flesh right here amongst them. It's your flesh being the word made flesh.
Amen.
It's God and his bride.
Yes.
That's why you're different than the rest of the world. They don't understand it. They're blind. They can't see this. No matter how you fix it, they'll never see it. Because you have to be the bride to be able to see it. You have to be with Abraham. See, Abraham was with the Son of Man. Son of Man was in a prophet. Son of Man is a prophet.
Amen.
And you got to have a prophet. Without a prophet, you have no message.
Amen.
People can't see it in this hour because they don't even see a prophet. Or they got a prophet, but they don't listen to him. They say, I believe William Branham, but I don't believe what he said. Then you don't believe William Branham.
Amen.
I don't believe William Branham was a prophet. Then who was?
Amen.
You see in the scripture that it says that the Amen. Son of Man was going to come. You see the scripture says, as it was in the days of Lot, when Abraham's time. You see it tells us it's going to be here. And we look around, we're not even looking for the word made flesh. We've been so dogmatic with our traditions that we don't even know that we're supposed to have the word restored. We don't even know that God's supposed to come in the end time. We don't even know that God promised that he was going to come amongst us, walking amongst us, the prophet, Son of Man, in skin.
Yeah.
That's the condition that the world is in. God was going to be made flesh. God said he's going to come in three sonships. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David.
Right.
Son of God's unseen force. That was God down through the ages. They couldn't see him. They didn't know where he was at, what he was up to. It wasn't word made flesh. It wasn't God's word in skin. It was God above us and with us. And they got him, but they didn't know how they got him. They got him, but they didn't know what they had. They got him, but they didn't know it was something that they couldn't lose. They had all kind of traditions on top of their salvation. But when the Son of Man comes on the scene, he tells you all things.
Amen.
He said, Abraham, will I hide anything? Bride, will I hide anything from you? I've come down to the earth to let you know exactly what I'm up to. I've come and visited you. I've come and stood before you. I've come in flesh. I've come in blood. And I'm talking to you plainly now. And I won't hide anything from you. Can you receive that? That's the hour that we're living in. We're living in an hour where God is in skin. God will not even talk to you outside of skin. Not in the hour of the Son of Man. When it was the hour of the Son of God, he'd come in a form, and he may have been a shadow. He may have been a ghost. He may have been anything that people had all kind of ideas of God talking to them. But in the hour when the Son of Man comes on the scene, it is the Word of God in skin. And when that man speaks to you, that's no longer man. That's deity, Brother Bradham said, on your lips.
Amen.
That's right.
Can he hide anything from you, little bride? We're not down in Sodom. We're up on a hillside. We're separated from the world. We're separated from all that unbelief. And they say, oh, well, I don't believe it. That's the problem. When the world is just falling apart and the word is so great amongst us and the people cannot receive it. Blind.
Amen.
Can't get this thing. He said over there in Genesis 18, verse 17, don't have to turn there. Shall I hide anything? The Lord said, shall I hide anything from Abraham? The things which I will do. When the Son of Man's on the scene, he hides nothing. When Jesus got on the scene, he hid nothing. He walked here as the Son of Man. He told him all things. He straightened the scripture out. Went to the temple with the high priest, who were smart men, educated. Family was educated. Didn't have a sin one in their family lineage.
Right.
Smart, educated. Jesus sat there at the age of 12 and told them all things.
Right.
He confounded them with his wisdom. Oh, people don't understand how I know what I know.
Right.
I've met Son of Man.
Right.
I've met the Son of Man. See, the Son of Man comes to you and you become the Son of Man.
Right.
You are a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. Yeah. How do you reveal him? By revealing, speaking his word.
Right.
Nobody else has it right.
Right.
You say, that's an awful bold thing to say. Gotta say it that way. I look around, there's nobody, no table is clean. All of it's full of vomit. And you can't tell them. They don't want to see it. They're blinded. But Abraham was with the one, Melchizedek, Son of Man on the hillside. And he told him this, he told him that. And the whole time, remember, Abraham was pleading. Because we plead for the, I feel for the church. I'm like, if we could just find one more, if one more could just come out of that mess, if we could just convince one more person, if we could just get it to one more person, if we can let them see God somehow, if there be 10, if there be 5, if I can go out here and do anything that would attract somebody to you. That's the heart of the bride. Oh, we're not sitting here on the side of the hill saying, I got it and you don't. We're not sitting here all self-righteous thinking I'm better than you. We're sitting here pleading for the world saying, Lord, have mercy on them. This world is gone. The condition is gone. The church don't even know how to get them out of that mess.
Amen.
They're blinded to this thing.
Right.
And I can't help but to see what I see. I can't help it because you revealed yourself to me. I can't help it because I know what it is. I can't help it because I'm walking with the Son of Man.
Amen.
They don't want it, but I can't live without it. They can't see what benefit it means for them to have it. I can't see having nothing else.
Amen.
They don't want to walk with you, Lord, but I do. Oh, they want their traditions. They want their world order. They want all these things. You can't even tell them what we're talking about now because they don't want it. They act like they want it till you start telling them. Then you see they really don't want this. They'll spew it through your fingers, get it out of their mouth. They don't want to receive this revelation. And here we are, Son of Man's talking to you personally, and you can answer every question they have. You can solve every problem they have. You can save their marriages. You can save their friendship. You can save their lives. And they won't have it, no matter how you fix it, because their angels blinded them. They're full of tradition. And made the word of God a non-effect because of the traditions. The false water baptism. The false, everything is just messed up in there. And we sit here with the truth. And just say, just let me tell you. Just let me tell you. I can break this down to you. We're breaking down scriptures that they don't even have a clue about. We talk about things that they have never even thought about. Why? We've been with the Son of Man. Revelation chapter 10.
Yes.
We know it. Verse 8 through 11.
Right.
This is us. This is the bride. Now remember, the church world's blinded. But in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 through 7, Son of Man come on the earth. The Son of Man. He himself. The Word himself. When those seals were ripped off, the word become available to us like never before.
Amen.
We didn't understand the Godhead. We didn't understand who he was. We didn't understand his plan. We didn't understand his body they was building. We didn't even understand who we were. But when the Son of Man come on the scene, he not only told us who he was, but he showed us who you are. You are the word made flesh. Luke 17:30, Son of Man on the scene in this hour that we're living in. Amen. Revelation chapter 10, 1 through 7 was the Son of Man coming down to a Son of Man.
Right.
See, the thing about it that's tricky, when the Son of Man comes and he veils himself in a Son of Man, then people have to look at a Son of Man to hear the Son of Man.
Right.
You can't see God without seeing me.
Right.
You can't hear from God without hearing from me. You don't know God without knowing me. When he come down in Revelations 10 and 1 through 7, that was God himself releasing the seals and bringing them down as word. And the word brought the Son of Man and put it in skin. Brother Branham was the first one on the scene that received the word. That's because he was a prophet. But not only is he a prophet, but the age is a prophetic age. Not only does he become the Son of Man, the whole body becomes the Son of Man. And you become a Son of Man, Word made flesh, revealing the Son of Man. It doesn't make you anything other than God himself veiled in skin. Because that's exactly who we are. It's not a bad thing for you making yourself equal with God. You got to do it. Because now when the Word is veiled in you, who are you? When the Word is made flesh in you, who do you become? When the world hears from you, who are they hearing from? Abraham received that promise. And that promise was a promise of a son. That promised son is coming to us. He said, I'll come back to you. He's going to do it too. We're looking for it. We're believing for it. We're waiting on it. But in the meantime, he sent us down here enough word that, oh my, we can create worlds and step out on it. We change atmospheres. We change lives. We change families. We give eternal life to people. We're doing stuff down here that the church has never had the ability to do in the whole 2,000 years. We now know, because of the opening of the seals, we know who we are. Amen. We know we give eternal life. Amen. We're not guessing at this, oh, I hope you're going to be there. No, you're going to be there. Why? Because I said so. Amen. Who are you? A Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Amen. Only God you're going to see is right here for right now. Amen. Next time you see God, it'll be over there. Amen. But we now know who we are. He has revealed his secrets to the bride. And we stand here with a perfect revelation, a perfect understanding. We're not guessing in there. That's why I don't sit here and try to figure out whether I have enough to make it. I know I'm going to make it. Why? The Son of Man told me. I've seen it in his word. I am the manifested word of God. And so is every other son of God that's taking the word of God in. You're not just like Lot's group who are down there trying to grope in darkness and blind and can't see. You clearly see what this is. You clearly understand the hour you're living in. You clearly know who you are.
Amen.
And now your life manifests exactly what you say you are.
Amen, Lord.
I'm a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. That came because God himself, Melchizedek, has come down here. And in verse 8 through 11, he said, you take the book and eat it. You've got to take the book, church. I can't take it for you. Your spouse can't take it for you. Kids, your parents can't take it for you. You got to take it for yourself. You got to get this for yourself. That's the only way that you got to take the book. I'm so glad he said, you got to take it. He didn't come down here and shove it down your throat. It's not like some people are saying, oh, we had such a rough life. No, this thing, I volunteered to do this. Right. I wanted this. Yeah. I needed this. Yeah. It became my very life.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 8 through 11 says, take this little book was in his hand, and it was open. Why was it open? Because it was revealed, open, laid out, so that we can take it and eat it. We can now look in that book and find out anything we want because it's open. And this bride took the book and she ate it. And now she's going to turn around and prophesy. Why? She becomes the Son of Man. Again, she becomes him. And he becomes her. And she's now walking around with answers to everything. She's now walking around not guessing, not hoping, not thinking, oh, Lord, if it be thy will, if it be thy will. No, it is thy will.
Yes.
Because my will is your will.
That's right.
It's one and the same. We are one and the same. When you see me, you see the Father. God's not trying to make us do this. We're doing this because of who we are. Amen. Abraham believed God. This bride believes God. She's standing on his promises. She's standing on his word. And she's standing right there saying, God, whatever you need, here I am. Where you lead me, I will follow. What you want me to do, I will do.
I will do, because only hands you got are my hands. Only feet are my feet. If you want to walk around, Lord, you know what you got to do? Take me. That's where it is now. Not an unseen force. It's a seen force. This bride is a seen force. You're a power pack, powerhouse. And the devil cannot stand it because he doesn't know what to do with you. You have become the Word made flesh and standing on His promises, and we will stand right there until we see our promised Son. The world's in darkness. Their messenger come and their messengers are gone. And their messengers blinded them. Abraham's eyes were open. Our eyes are open. We know what it is. And now we know what to do with the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your truth. Thank You for Your Word, how You speak to us, how You reveal Yourself to us, how You make Yourself known in such a mighty way. We ask You, Father, to, if there's some that might be here that maybe haven't quite had their eyes open, that You'll open their eyes. If there's some that hasn't stepped forward and taken, Lord, their life and turned it totally 100% over to You, let them do so. Don't let us sit in here and be blinded like the rest of the church world. But open our eyes that we might see our role, what we're to do. Don't let us sit here and be blind. It's a shame to sit right under the fountain and die of thirst. Let us not sit in the church or near the church and not be part of it. Help us, Lord, to press, knowing that it's as it was in the day of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, when Abraham was on the hillside talking with You. Lord, You're talking with us in this place. We know that. I ask You to help us to just lean more into You and give You everything. Lord, we sang the song, I give myself away so that You can use me. Help us to do so, knowing that those three angels have come and gone. And the message that the angel gave to Abraham took him all the way to the promised Son. And the blindness that the angels did to Sodom took them to their destruction. I ask You to be with us and help us, Father. Thank You for showing us the way. Thank You for this congregation and how they press. And Lord, they love You. And they want to be the Son of Man. A Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man to this world. The only light that this world will see is in them. Help us to do so, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. We are a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. It's the Word of God being made flesh. That's who we are. Let's sing I See the Word Made Flesh Again. I think that'd be a good song to end with. Because that's what it is. Amen. Don't forget to come back tonight, 7 o'clock. And let's see what the Lord has in store for us. I see the Word made flesh again in this our day. For God and man forever to stay. I see the Word made flesh again in this our day. For God and man forever say, oh, what a glory.
Christ has come down and he's united with man. I see the Word made flesh again in this our day. To know and understand.